At the height of the Cold War, the United States was also fighting a culture war. To counter Soviet propaganda, the State Department launched a public relations campaign featuring jazz. It sent dozens of musicians around the world as jazz ambassadors, among them Duke Ellington, Dave Brubeck, and the pianist and composer Randy Weston. Weston had already been exploring the links between jazz and African music. Those world tours cemented his commitment to bridging cultures through the music. As Bilal Qureshi reports, that work continues on Weston's latest album.
Randy Weston will be 91 years old in a few weeks, and he's taking the long view to life and to music.
Today, everything is fast. The computer is fast. Everything, blah, 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 blah. People don't slow down, see? But when you hear this traditional music, they can take one note and touch your heart. Touches places you've forgotten about.
The traditional music of Africa has informed Randy Weston's jazz for some 60 years. Whether it's high life from West Africa or Sufi music from Morocco, Weston has tried to absorb it all. It's a journey that began in segregated Brooklyn in the 1920s. His parents taught him that he was an American-born African.
Everything I do comes from my mother and father. I do nothing new. They taught me where I come from. See, there's a lot of lies out there in the streets about you, but in the house, you're going to learn the truth. When you study and read about the great African empires, which where music was created, he understood better that we have a lot to learn about what we do.
Weston learned from the great pianist Thelonious Monk and made well-received albums right out of the gate. At the same time, he was seeing the world outside New York changing, says Robin Kelly. He teaches African-American history at the University of California in Los Angeles, and he's written a book about the influence of African music on jazz. He says Randy Weston was incorporating that music into his compositions, even before his first State Department tour in 1965.
He came into this musical relationship with a political agenda, and that is to support the independence of former colonies in Africa and the rest of the world, to make sure that African Americans in their fight for civil rights would be part of a global struggle for justice.
Weston's 14-country African tour came to a close in Morocco. By that point, he'd fallen in love with the continent, and he decided to stay. He moved to the Moroccan port city of Tangier.
No Spanish, no French, no Arabic, no Berber. I come with love and music, and how the people treated me, how they treated my children. I had my children in Morocco. It was so beautiful.
Weston became a presence in Tangier. Moroccan-American writer Hisham Aidi grew up there. He now teaches at Columbia University, and he remembers what his parents told him.
Before I was born, Randy used to live on our street, Rue de Gibraltar, Calle Gibraltar in Tangier. When my father was weaning my mother, he took her to see Randy perform at Cinema Alhambra. So growing up, you hear stories about this man, this 6'8" giant, and what he did for the music of our town.
Weston opened a club in Tangier called the African Rhythms Cultural Center. He programmed everything to show the cultural connections, from R&B to jazz to the sacred music of the Gnawa people of Morocco. Weston eventually did move back to the U.S., but he says by that point, his piano had become his African instrument.
If you look at the piano, inside is a harp. A harp is one of the oldest African instruments, the harp. And when I touch a piano, it becomes an African instrument. It's no longer a European instrument. And I say that in a positive way, not a negative way.
Professor Robin Kelly says Randy Weston's latest album presents that message in song.
The African-Nubian suite involves millions of years of history, all encapsulated in this profound composition. And here he is at 90 years old. He hasn't stopped because he feels like the message still needs to get out there. You know, he still has a lot of work that he's trying to do.
On a personal note, Randy Weston says his musical journey was inspired by a deeper question, a desire to renew a connection with his own severed past as an African.
I wonder how it's possible we could come here in America in chains, on a boat, packed like sardines. Our ancestors couldn't speak English, couldn't speak French. How they were able to take European instruments and do something that never happened before. I said, how's that possible? I still don't understand it. But when I hear African tradition music, I get the message.
For NPR News, I'm Bilal Qureshi. We'll be right back.